And a lot of times, we make really terrible choices. And so bad things happen to us, not because God was... I mean, the only reason you're still alive, most of us, is because of God's goodness. Because the devil wanted us dead. He still wants you dead, by the way. He wants us dead. I mean, I don't think people understand. The devil is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes to give life and more abundantly. Yeah. You're good, you're good. Those are not trite little sayings that we say. We need to mean it when we say it. God, you're good. God, you're good. Your love endures forever. You're good. I know him to be good. He is just and he is fair. The devil takes advantage of our ignorance. Is the truth. That's the truth. Now, but not everybody wants to hear that because they want to blame God. Well, God, why did you do? Why did you? And God has said, why didn't you read my word, darling? There are people who bled and died and were tortured so we could have the word of God. Did you know that? Men and women, they were tortured. And during the Great Reformation, there were many women that were involved and they were tortured to further the gospel during the Great Reformation. A lot of people don't know that, but it's true. Historically, it is true. And we don't hear very much about them, but they were very much involved. Women have always been involved in the ministry, always from get-go. They traveled. There was a group of them. They traveled with Jesus. They met his needs. They paid for his expenses. Some of the wealthy women paid for his expenses. And one of them was Lydia, and the church met at her house. She was a seller of purple. It was a very royal kind of rich kind of fabric. And so I don't want us to look at the Bible through what you've been told. We have got to learn the truth. You can read a history book. We can read these things. We can learn these things. And I've said it 1,000 times. Don't just trust somebody behind a board, wood, or plexiglass. Read for yourself. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Paul told Timothy, no, you study. You study to show yourself approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because that means you can divide it up all wrongly, and you can divide it up according to your cultural standards. Well, that can change. That can change in 20 years. It can be completely different. But there's a thread of truth that goes all the way from Genesis through Revelation, and is that God loves you. God's plans are good. They are not evil. God has provided everything you need up front. Everything you'll need your whole life, God has already provided it for you. The Bible says so. And then our decision is, do we believe God or not? That's really what it all boils down to. Do you believe God or do you believe what you're feeling? Do you believe the media? Well, what do you really believe? I'm going to talk to you today about going through trials. Doesn't that sound fun? Right? Wow. Of all the things you could preach on. No, we need to know about going through trials. Why would I say that? Because y'all go through them. We all go through trials. We all go through things that are, can I say, difficult, that may put a strain. You understand? Maybe it's a strain on your finances. It could be a strain on your health. It could be a strain in a relationship where there's a relationship and it's not going very well. Wow. I'm going to be in the book of 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter is a letter of encouragement, which is interesting. I'm going to talk about trials, and I'm start out with saying we're going to read about encouragement. Well, that's how you get through trials. That's how you get through this stuff, right? It's a letter of encouragement to Christians that were suffering great trials. He encourages Christians, and in this whole book, he maintains a life of holiness, to maintain a life of holiness in the middle of pressures created by non-Christians and very anti-Christian people. And it deals with the trials of Christian living in this atmosphere of people who don't like what you have to say. This anti-Christian atmosphere. There are people who are going through trials right now because of an anti-Christian atmosphere. But they may be their neighbor or a coworker or someplace they have to perhaps get their groceries at the market or something. But there is an increasing atmosphere of hatred and anti-Christianity. The apostle here is encouraging the Christians to maintain holiness regardless of the pressures they are experiencing. In other words, don't give in to pressure. He reminds them that they have been saved from darkness and selfish living, and they belong to God through salvation provided by Jesus. This whole book reminds them of that. Boy, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded often. Why? Because the world is telling you something so different every single day. All through this letter, the apostle is directing people towards this lifestyle that is very different from the world. And he keeps redirecting them over and over. These are people going through a hard time. I mean, a really hard time. He reminds them and instructs them that we, as Christians, are to be like Jesus. Now, there's some people, as soon as I say something like that, they just balk. Oh, nobody could be like Jesus. He said you could. He didn't say you would be Jesus. He said you'd be like him. Like him how? Character. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Faithfulness to God. Perseverance. Attitudes. Miracles. Casting out devils. Yeah. You can be like Jesus. Yeah. He says, we as believers have a new identity. He reminds them, we have a new identity in Jesus. How can you possibly be born again and be the same? Those don't even make sense. How can you be born again and not change? When the Bible says you became somebody you never were before. See, I think the church needs to ask these questions. How is it possible that absolutely nothing in your life, your routine, where you go, how you talk, how you spend your money, nothing changed? And you said, but I got born again. Do you know there's nothing in the Bible that would support that viewpoint? You understand? How can I say that? Because the moment you're born again, you have a recreated spirit in Jesus that wants God. It wants God. Your spirit all of a sudden becomes alive to God. Before you're born again, your spirit's dead to God. Dead to the things of God. Not really interested. It's boring. You're not interested. And you think, well, I've met a lot of people and they were Christians and they were all boring. Well, I'm anything but boring. My life is not boring. Is yours? No. No, 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 no. Why? Because we were changed. Well, what was the change for? To become more like him. Remember he said we could be like him? Well, you have to be born again for that to happen. Baptism, just being dunked in some pool in somebody's backyard where they're all eating good food or something, that's not the same thing. It's got to be your personal decision. God will not override your own choice. He will not do it. He even gave the angels choice. Everybody, you notice they all have choices. Because God isn't trying to make people into a robot. He wants to help them become more like Jesus because that's where their true state of happiness is. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That old song. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Wow. We're not to... There's certain things we do to become more like Jesus. We don't retaliate against people who have not been kind to us. There's no room in the Word of God for you to, well, I'm just going to call them up and give them a piece of my mind. Keep your peace. You need all of them, obviously. I'm just going to tell them a thing or two. You know, while you probably the week before said, well, what you need to do, you need to be in church. That's what you need to do. You need to be in church. And then... You know, you're blowing up at them, and they go, whatever that is, I don't want that, right? I don't want that, whatever that is. Because even people in the world know that's not God. Even the atheists know that's not God. And they'll judge you as a Christian. We don't attack somebody's character because they attack ours. Somebody says, well, you're just such and such, whatever. Okay, whatever. You just go on your day. They can't control where you shop or how you spend your money or anything else. They just said something they wanted to say. And those words, they'll just fall to the ground because your life will prove it different, right? So you don't have to defend your character. Let God be your defense. Let God be your defense. He is your protector. He is your defender. We're not to return evil for evil, the Bible says. Don't return evil for evil. This whole book is about that. It's an interesting book, don't you think, so far? We're to use our trials and our victories as an opportunity to testify of the goodness of God and His power working in us for our good and victory over sin and defeat. I will say that again because that was a mouthful. That was a long sentence, but it's really rich if you can catch it. We are to use, when a trial comes your way, you need to know, ooh, I'm in the process of an awesome victory here. Not only that, this whole thing I'm going through is going to change me, which is what you pray all the time, right? God, do a work in me. God comes to do a work. You go, no, not that one. No, not that work. No, Lord, not that one. But were you to use our trials and our victories as an opportunity to testify of the goodness of God and His power working in us for our good and victory over sin and defeat. Yeah. In other words, it's a win-win. A trial comes, you're going to win. You have a great day, you're winning. It's a win-win. How can you be a loser with Jesus? He gave you His victory. He handed you the victory. So, my question today is, are we actually living the Christian life that God ordained for us? Are we? Or do we find that we're falling short? Are we defensive? Are we touchy? Are there some people who kind of have to walk around on eggshells because you have to always be careful exactly what you say because they'll be offended and their feathers are ruffled, I mean, immediately. See, that means there's a work of grace that needs to be done. And we all, we have a different one, but it's all a work of grace in all of us, okay? I'm not singling any one thing out. It's innumerable. The list is quite extensive, actually. So turn in 1 Peter. Let's look at verse 1. Let's look at some of the scriptures about what I'm talking about today. Are y'all here so far? All right. This letter's from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. As I'm writing to God's chosen people who were living as foreigners in the provinces Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. You could camp right there for a long time. When you're born again, your spirit has been made squeaky clean, holy. You will never get yourself more holy than what God's work did in you already. Your spirit, you can't improve the spirit. Your spirit's perfect. It's your mind, will, and emotions. That's called your soul. They have to learn how to line up with your spirit. Does that make sense? Like God did a finished work. Jesus said, it's finished. It's done. I'm done. Everything I'm going to do, I've provided it for these people. And then all these people who died to make sure that this book was preserved for our reading is how we learn what actually happened, what was done for us, and how do we respond to that in our everyday life. The Bible is not a book where you just go to Sunday school, you learn a few stories, and say, well, I did all that. It's not a did all that. It's a do now. It's a now. See, it's a now book. It wasn't just for them. No, it's for us. We can learn. You get instruction. You get ideas. You begin to see how God thinks. You begin to see how much God loves people. You begin to see God's incredible long-suffering. I'm always amazed at how many years, 40, 50, 60, sometimes with some of these kings, before God finally said, that's it. And why would he do that? Because the people got such a warped view of him under that leadership. And then his character and their ideas about God became skewed because of the culture they were living in that was so corrupt. And a lot of things get lost that way. It's happened over and over and over with the church. The culture comes in, and the church hops onto the culture band. You know? And we get our ideas from the world because we're trying to attract the world. It's the gospel. It's the gospel that attracts the world. What the world needs now is love. It's love. But it's not a human love. They need something beyond that because human love has its limitations. Have you noticed? Have you noticed your own limitations sometimes? Yes. God is love. And so we need the church to stand up in the principles that Jesus has given us, these apostles have given us, about who are we in this world while we're here. The Bible says you are a sojourner. That means your residency here is temporary. Yeah. And your body's temporary. You're not going to have this body. Your body's going to rot in the ground. Just go back to dust. Your spirit has been made alive. Woo, I love that. I love that. Your spirit will never die once you're born again. Your spirit will never die. You just transition. You just leave this tent here and keep going. That's what death is. You just leave this tent and you just keep going to the place called home. If you think of earth as home, you're missing it. Earth isn't home. It's all temporary. And there are so many people that have gone on before us. Heaven is a grand, amazing place of great opulence, great wealth, beauty, peace, joy, everything the human heart longs for and tries to grasp while we're here. But people in the world try to do it, but without God, it's impossible. It's impossible. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what made you holy. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Now, let's go down to verse 3. All praise to God, yes, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we've been born again. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Are you living today with expectation? Are you expecting God in your life every day? Are you just borne down by the cares of life? The Bible says the cares of life choke the word. So whatever word you did learn, it says it makes it of no effect. In other words, it's not operating in your life. You operate the word. The word is something you use. You use it every day. Not, I used it last year. What about right now? What about today? See, He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. His word is an ever-present help. You can absolutely have the scripture. You can get the word of God in you to where when you're going through something, God will literally speak to you through His word over and over and over. It's so precious. It says, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I love that. The things in heaven don't rot. You don't have to polish it. You don't have to keep it up. You don't have to store it. You don't have to put it in the bank. You don't have to worry somebody's going to steal it. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's beyond the reach of change and decay. I love it. Your inheritance is already settled. God already has your inheritance, and nothing can destroy that. It's there. It's waiting for you. It's beautiful. And through your faith, whoa, 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 whoa. And through whose faith? Your faith. And through your faith, did y'all catch that? And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved, the Bible says. See, there are different things we're saved from. We were saved from the power of sin. We are being saved as we live this out on the earth. We're here in our ministry while we're here, and then there's this big, we'll be saved when we get to heaven, like it's all done. Everything is done. Everything is done. From start to finish, you're always in a place of being saved. Don't you love that? He's protecting, he's keeping that, that's precious to him. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Uh-oh, how did he put those together? Look what he just did. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though. Oh, let's look at the even though for a minute. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Ooh, it said many trials. Did y'all hear that? It said many trials. It didn't say two. It said many. You must endure. That doesn't sound optional to me. Did that sound optional to you? You must endure? Did he say you could endure if it's a good day, if you don't feel like you don't have to endure? Did he say that? No. He said you must endure many trials for a little while. What is a little while? Maybe your whole life. It could be your whole life. Did you know that? To God, that's a little while. It's just a spit in the wind compared to eternity. Living like forever, like anything we would ever go through here is so small compared to the life that we will live forever, forever, with no interruption, no interruption whatsoever. And it says, these trials, verse 7, will show, look at this, the trials, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. How does that happen? Because you come through them. And you refuse not to come through them. You're just a bulldog. You're just a bulldog and say, no. I'm on the other side of this. I am going to go through. And devil, you're not going to make me sit down. You're not going to make me sad and despondent. You're not taking me out because I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm going to do. And you have to literally make up your mind ahead of time. Some people say, well, I don't know what I would do. You have to almost start programming your mind right now. Then no matter what would happen, I'm in. If you don't program your mind, when the time comes, you won't be in. I'm telling you straight up. You have to make up your mind no matter what happens. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God in the middle of adversity. My hands are going to be in the air. I'm going to be shouting amen to all those scriptures. I'm in the zone. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. What? Your faith. Your faith is tested. God knows you. The devil wants to know who you really are. God knows you. He knows the end from the beginning, right? Guess who doesn't? Yeah. So these trials, afflictions, hardships, persecutions, this church was under persecution. God didn't send them persecution. Come on. God wasn't inciting the crowd to be mean to them. Of course not. He was wanting the gospel to go forth so they could be saved. So you're tested because the devil wants to kind of like take a little pin and say, let's see if that hurts. Let's see what that does. Let's see how they react to that. Let's see what they do with this. And then they know, he knows exactly how many imps to assign to that task. For some people, it's just like, that's it. You could thump it off. That was it. That's all it took. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because he's only got so many. He's already in the minority. He's already defeated. You know, he keeps fighting like there's something to it, but he's been defeated. Satan's already been defeated. Jesus did that at the cross. What he wants to do is get back at God and kill and defile as many people as possible. Why? Because God loves people so much. God loves people so much. And he gave everything there was to save every single soul. And the devil wants to touch what God loves. Yep. He's so evil. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, there's that word again, many. Oh my goodness. So when your faith remains strong, your faith remains strong. See, your faith can be strong when maybe your body's very weak. Your faith can be strong when you're going through a sickness. Your faith can be strong when you're going through a financial difficulty. Your faith can stay the same that God is still on the throne. And I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to get through it. And I'm going to praise God. And the reality is we have to remember your life isn't really here. You're a sojourner. You're a foreigner. To try to fit in with this world system is kind of it's a waste of your energy. It's a waste of your time. And those things can get in the way. The need to impress other people. The need to always be right. All those kinds of things. That's the way the world looks at everything. You can't go there. You can't go there because when you go there, then you want to retaliate. Or you want to criticize. Or you got to talk about those people for 3 days in a row because of two things they said to you. And you can't sleep that night. You're so furious. How dare they? How dare they talk to me like a human being? How dare they attribute any flaws to me whatsoever? How dare that person? Oh, come on. Oh, I had a few nerves in here. Well, this is God. He says, you love him. Oh, well, let me finish this. He says, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. There's something about us going through trials God's way that has a reward and a praise for us when we get home. When we get home. You see, a lot of times we go through our world, our day-to-day things, as if this is all there is, but there isn't. What matters the most is what's there. And so we live, we tell people the gospel, we love people, we do the things God's asked us to do. Because no matter how long you live, at some point you're dead. You're just dead. At some point, you're just dead. Where do you want to be when you're dead? Where do you want the real you to end up? When you get there, do you want that praise that God has for you? Do you want what God has to offer you for what you've been through? Or does it just have to be people? See, if it's just people, you can trade it. You can just get it from people, or you can get it from God. You can get so much more from God. God always has given more than people. He always gives the ultimate, everything. People will give you a little pat on the back every once in a while. And it lasts, what, I don't know, a couple hours, maybe a day. Maybe a day. I'm talking about something that lasts you throughout eternity. He says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for your trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. And that is a lot because there's a whole package plan that comes with that that is in heaven waiting for every single believer. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again unto you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Right? It's being with Jesus, not TV Jesus. I mean Jesus, Jesus. Yeah. Look at this. Let's keep going. I love this. This is, there's so much in here. There's so much in here. This salvation, wait a minute, let me see, where do I want to go? That's true, okay. Go down to verse 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered, can't you see them? These old prophets, God has given them revelation of Jesus, the Messiah. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They didn't know the time period. They wondered, I wonder when that's going to happen. Some of them may have said, I wonder if I'll see it. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you, for a later time, a people that weren't even born yet. of people not yet born. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Isn't that amazing? The angels are curious and interested, and they watch. They watch the unfolding of the body of Christ. They're watching the unfolding of the events of God, everything that was prophesied. So prepare your minds for action. Whoa. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Did I say that? So prepare your minds for action. What does that mean? That we do stuff. We don't just come and sit. You don't just stand and pray or whatever, but that we are active and we are involved. And it says, and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So here we go. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And the reality is, that means you allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you about your stuff. You allow the Word of God, you spend time in the Word of God so that God will talk to you about your stuff, about your shortcomings, about whatever it is. You know, and God can reach you when nobody else can. God will show you things in you that other people didn't even know was there. They would have never dreamed. They have no idea. But God knows. He's the revealer of hearts. He says, but now you must be holy in everything. Look at that. Ooh, go down to 17. Remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. A lot of people think He does. It's not true. It's not true. If you think that, you are wrong. And you have decided to believe what you feel and what you think as opposed to what God said. It's over and over and over in the Bible. He doesn't play favorites. He's no respecter of persons. It says he has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. In other words, what are you doing with what He tells you to do? What are you doing with what He tells you to do? And it's different for everybody. Come on, it's not the same. So it's a very private kind of thing, right? Like, what is He telling you to do? But you're never going to be happy not doing what He called you to do, but pretending that you did here and you're obeying. Or you decide to do something else because you didn't like what He actually called you to do. There's a lot of those. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time as a temporary resident. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. Ooh, listen to this. The empty life you inherited from your ancestors. In other words, just things that were passed down to you culturally, it was so empty. It's so empty. There's nothing there. There's a void. There's a huge chasm in the human heart that only God can fill. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. We're seeing that. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, He has been revealed for your sake. And a lot of people say, when you say last days, go, well, they've been saying that forever. No, they've been saying that since Jesus came up out of the tomb. That's when they started saying it. That was the beginning of the last days. So where does that put us now? Right? Yeah, we're much further along in the last days than they were. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. I love this. This is precious to me. It says you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. When you heard the message about Jesus and you obeyed, in other words, you surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you quit playing around with church. You quit playing around with religious, and you actually said, no, I'm all in. So now you must show sincere love to one another as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. This means you're not just tolerant of your brothers and sisters, but that you love them. You pray for them. You care enough to bring their name up before God. Because you're not going to like everybody. Your flesh isn't going to like everybody. Come on. But your heart will. That Spirit of God inside of you will cut right through everything that's just you, and you'll find yourself praying for some of the most unloving people. You will find yourself doing it. Why? Because you want them to know love so desperately. It's just for you've been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. That beautiful, your new life, you'll never die. You'll never die when you're born again. I know my dad was so funny. He was a real character, and he joked about everything. And he said, it's not that I'm afraid to die. It's just the way I go out. Yeah. And he would laugh about it and stuff. He's in heaven. I can't wait to see my daddy. Yep. There's so many precious people we know that we love, and they're there. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord remains forever. In other words, this is unchangeable. What I'm telling you today is not able to be changed. The word of God is not going to change. What God says is not going to change. Cultures change. Ideas about the Bible may change. But God's word is not going to change. And that's the word. That's the good news. It says, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. This was how you got saved. You believed that truth, that Jesus died for your sins. You came in. But you didn't come in so you could live the way you used to live. And when you come in, God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. You came in to goodness. You came into real love. It says here, this is in the second chapter, just the first two verses. So get rid, verse 3, so get rid of all evil behavior. Does anybody have any evil behavior? Don't raise your hand. Yes, why? Because we are not yet perfected. We are not yet perfected. But boy, the standard is good. I'm kind of like Paul, you know, not that I have arrived, but I'm pressing because the goal is still right. The goal is still good. The standard is sure. I love it. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. In other words, you start with something small. You start with something you can actually understand. And then as you grow in the Word, you begin to put the pieces together. And then you apply the Word to your life. There's a lot of people, they've learned the Word, but they haven't learned how to apply it to them personally. Like newborn babies, you must crave. Boy, I tell you, when I was born again, I loved being in the Word of God. I could not hear about God enough. I love the Word of God. To this day, I love the Word of God. I love it because the Word of God will speak and settle something for me instantly sometimes. Something maybe I've been dealing with for weeks, and I'll come across it. God will always make sure He directs you. He just has a way of bringing things to you, and it'll just be a verse and go, thank you, God. That's what I needed to know. That was it. Yep. I love it. He says, cry out for this nourishment. Cry out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Salvation was the Lord's kindness. Salvation was the Lord's kindness. I just wanted to encourage you today that you're going to have trials in life. There's no way to avoid that because we live on a planet and Satan is the god of this world, and there's stuff that just happens. There's stuff that happens on the planet that we cannot always control. We can't control everything going on around us. We can only control our response to it. And a lot of people are trying to control so many things, and God only asked you to control one, and it was you, me. Right? God never said, and I want you to control this, and I want you to control your family, and I want you to control this. I want you to control. No, you don't control your family. Mm-mm. God's in control of human souls. You're not in control of human souls. Somebody's spirit. Control yourself. We learn to control ourselves, right? And that'll be a lifetime effort, by the way. Am I talking to anybody besides me in here? It's a lifetime effort to control yourself. And when it's not what people are saying to you, it's what is your response? What happens on the inside of you when somebody or you think somebody is saying something that you think is wrong or you don't like or whatever? What is your response? Yeah. Y'all understand? So, and he says, this will help you get through every trial you're going to go through. Your words. I've said it 1,000 times. When Jesus bought you with a price with his own blood, you're no longer your own. You gave him your life. We don't have the right to just say whatever we want to say. We don't have a right to get all riled up and we're going to set somebody straight. You don't have a right to do that. You have a right to do that. You may have something you want to express about yourself or how you feel, but you don't have a right to degrade another human being by your words so that they feel degraded or talked down to in some way. You understand what I'm saying? And don't be so touchy, because sometimes people didn't mean anything, but people get upset. They get upset over nothing. They're just waiting. It's almost like they're waiting for somebody to say just anything. And then they're just gone. So God is helping us to grow up into the full stature of the man Jesus. When you look at all the things people said about Jesus, you don't see any time ever of him defending himself. Well, I did that because, well, what I meant was, well, let me help you understand, but he just kept going. Because he knew the heart that was behind that. It's like, you can't talk to that. You understand? Those of us who have ears to hear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. That we would have ears to hear and our focus would be on controlling ourselves to the praise and glory of God. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand up, please. Have a great day. If you find that you're in that category of being super touchy, where somebody can say something and it just goes all over you, and your first response is, I'm angry. God's going to come and he's going to help you with that. He's going to help you with that. He loves you. He knows that. He knows it's in your way. It's been in your way your whole life. He knows all about it. And then there are also some of you that people can say something to you and you melt. You don't come back. You go in a cocoon. They're the same coin, just flip sides. It still comes from not knowing who you are in Christ. And that we somehow desperately need human praise. And he says, oh, that we would yearn for the praise that comes from God. Oh, that we would yearn for the praise that comes from God. Because it's eternal. That praise is eternal. All other praise is so temporary. It's almost as if it's not there. It's so fleeting. You understand what I'm saying? It's so fleeting. Because today they really like you. It could be anything. By tomorrow, boy, they could just be all up in your face. Same person. So my thing for us today is, let us be authentic. Let us be real. When you're going through something, pray. We'll pray with you when you're going through something. We're not supposed to be going through stuff by ourselves. But God wants us to learn how to control ourselves. And you never can control yourself until you can control your tongue. The tongue is just a little member, but it boasteth great things. And it can set on fire pretty much anything. Churches are split because of tongues, because of words. Marriages end because of words, or the lack of them. Words are powerful. There are things that need to be said. There are things that never need to be said. We need to know the difference. God will help us discern. So if that's you, just bow our heads. God, I thank you right now. You're helping us. You're helping us get through trials. You're helping us get through trials, and trials always involve people. There's always going to be people involved somehow with anything we ever go through. And you love people. God, help us to go through these things in your love and with your grace. And that somehow we can get better and better at controlling ourselves. And I thank you for this work of grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah.